Okay, so this morning I'm going to talk about Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. There's quite a lot in it, but I feel very lucky to be doing the talk this morning because actually Jesus said the parable and then he gave the explanation. So there's very, very little for me to do this morning. So it's good. Okay, I'm going to read it first, and I'm reading actually from the Good News Children's Version. I like this version, it's simple. So Mark 4, verse 1 to 20. Again, Jesus began to teach beside Lake Galilee. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it. The boat was out in the water, and the crowd stood on the shore on the water's edge. He used parables to teach them many things, saying to them, "Listen, once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground where there was little soil. The seed soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. Then when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants, and because the roots..." Sorry, the pages are stuck together. "...had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants, and they didn't produce any corn. But some seeds fell on good soil, and the plants sprouted, grew, and produced corn. Some had 30 grains, others had 60, and others 100. And Jesus concluded, "Listen, then, if you have ears." When Jesus was alone, some of those who had heard him came to him with the 12 disciples and asked him to explain the parables. "You've been given the secret of the kingdom of God," Jesus answered. "But the others who are on the outside hear all things by means of parables, so that they may look and yet not see. They may listen and listen yet not understand. For if they did, they would turn to God and he would forgive them." Then Jesus asked, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you ever understand any parable? The sower sows God's message. Some people are like the seeds that fall on the path. As soon as they hear the message, Satan comes and takes it away. Other people are like the seeds that fall on rocky ground. As soon as they hear the message, they receive it gladly, but it doesn't sink deep into them, and they don't last long. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. Other people are like the seed sown among the thorn bushes. These are the ones who hear the message, but the worries about this life, the love for riches, and all other kinds of desires crowd in and choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. But other people are like the seed sown in good soil. They hear the message, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. I was just thinking before I got up here, one day I'll be able to do this without notes. Yes, it could be a while yet. So here we are with Jesus again. He's surrounded by a massive crowd of people. He gets into a boat so that he can address them all. And it says there, doesn't it, that they're right up close to the water's edge. They're intently listening to what he has to say. Sorry, can everybody hear me all right? Yeah. Jesus is a fisher of men. He wants to speak to them all. He wants to give them an equal opportunity to hear him that day. So he tells them a parable. Now, what is a parable? Is it a coded message? Mm-hmm. A riddle or a puzzle? Here, it's a story that makes a point. Jesus wants to make a point. It's an illustration of a spiritual truth. And when he gives them, the disciples and some others come to him, when he gives them what the parable means, it's a divine revelation. It's straight from Jesus's mouth. So Jesus has all these people in front of him, and they have a lot of things in common. They might be farmers, but certainly when he speaks this parable, he uses things that are familiar to them. So farming. He's talking here about spreading seed. It's something that they see on most days. If you look in the Bible, there's lots of planting and harvesting, many, many illustrations to do with that. And that's what I like about the Bible, because it you can look, I could quote you 100 verses that go along with this. I won't, because I know we've only got a certain length of time, but I could quote you lots of verses, and they basically say the same thing. Jesus wants people to come to him. That's why he's sitting here, standing here rather, in front of these people today. This is a large crowd, much more than we are here today, so I don't know how many there were. But what I do know is that every single one of them had a different state of readiness in their heart. They might have been ready to receive his word that day, they might have not been. Have you read in the Old Testament where it said, plough up the ground of your hearts, and it's so that you can receive that seed and that word? That's what he's talking about there. Some of them would grasp what he said that day, and some would just... And you know what struck me when I read it was that by telling this story to all of these people, they are actually the parable themselves when he's speaking to them. Jesus is sowing that seed, and they are the people that he's talking about. Their hearts are what he's saying. You will get all those different kind of hearts and acceptance of the word amongst those people. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, thank you. What I'm trying to say is they would respond to it in their own way, in their own heart. The seeds on that ground had a mixed response, and that's what Jesus got that day, I'm sure. What we need to note here is that the seed that was sown was exactly the same seed. It wasn't from a few different batches. It was exactly the same seed, and the seed is God's word. The difference is the ground that it was sown on. And the other point is that he didn't just go, oh, I'll just put it in the good soil. I know I'll get a result from that. He gave everybody an equal opportunity. He spread it all over the four different types of soil. So the first type of soil is a footpath. Now, I've just mentioned some words from the Old Testament about a ploughed field. You know, do you all know what a ploughed field looks like? Yeah, so you have furrows of different bits of soil. Some seed might go into the bits, the furrows, and that would be great because the birds couldn't see it, and it's nice soft soil, and it can grow roots. But a trodden path, if you think about it, every day somebody's walking on it, it's going to be hard. There's nowhere for that seed to go, is there? We've all seen, haven't we, the farmer's fields where when he's spreading out his seed, they're there circling, aren't they, the birds, waiting to pick it up. And I'm going to tell you a little story now about seagulls. Have you seen the size of seagulls? They're humongous. They frighten the life out of me. And it's not just unattended food that they go for. If you're sitting there eating fish and chips, you've had it. That's all I'm saying, anywhere on the coast. Anyway, this story. I went to visit some friends on the coast, and my friend was making the main meal, and I said, well, I'll make the pudding. I'll make waffles, warm waffles with ice cream. Yeah, so it didn't go as planned, let me just say that. So of course, I put these waffles in the oven, and then I start chatting. Next thing, there's smoke coming out of the oven, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So my friend says, it's okay, Julie. He took the tray out of the oven. There's one tray. That's all we had, one tray. He took the tray out of the oven, ran outside with it, and left it outside so that the tray could cool down and I could put more waffles on it. Guess what happened? 2 minutes later, he went out to retrieve the tray and every single waffle was gone. Because those seagulls knew that they were, and they'd swooped down and they'd had the lot. So we gave it a good wash and carried on. I'm sorry, that's just a little story from me, but what I'm trying to say is that seed that fell on that footpath that had nowhere to go, it's only good for bird seed. That's all it's good for. And the birds came, Jesus said, the birds came and ate it up. Satan took that word. And why does that happen? Well, if that soil represents hearts, It's about people who hear and instantly forget. It's about people whose hearts are hardened by sin. Have you ever spoken to somebody? I've spoken to a few people. And you go, you start talking about Jesus or God or whatever, and they go, don't want to hear it. The second lot of seed falls on shallow soil with underlying rock. Now, that actual soil will look quite good. The soil looks okay, but you can't see the underlying rock. It's going to be too shallow to support any roots or retain any moisture that any seed needs to grow. No deep roots. You might term these people short-term enthusiasts. So when any persecution comes or a hot climate, they wither and die. They could sprout, they might grow a bit, but they won't last long. They've got no deep roots. And I would say this is, they've got a little bit of faith, but that doesn't turn into action in the end. The third type of soil is deep enough to sustain the life of a seed. But what we've got to remember is these are the days before weed killer. Weeds, bane of my life, I tell you. That's why you don't get an invite to my house, by the way, because you can't get in the front door because of the weeds. That's not true, but I do hate weeds. But they didn't have weed killer then. This illustration is the seeds, but the weeds. Have you seen how weeds, they seem a lot more prevalent than normal flowers, don't they? Mary's agreeing here. Yes, and they grow so quickly, don't they? And that's what this illustration is. They grow up so quickly and they choke those little baby plants. So no fruit is produced. And this type of people have got a lot on their minds and hearts. And maybe they're rich. Jesus told another parable in Mark 10 about that we will look at in the future, no doubt. And it says how hard it is for the rich people to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong. If God gives you, if blesses you like that, that's absolutely fine. But it's wrong to put those riches before God. There's another parable, isn't there, about the treasure in the field. A man finds treasure in a field. He buries it again, goes away, sells all his possessions, and buys that field because he knows what he's got. He knows this is it. I'm not advocating that you go and sell all your possessions either, but what I'm saying is, what should come first is the kingdom of God. He says that, doesn't he, Jesus? That's what I mean. I could quote you 100 verses. He says it. The word, as in the seed in this, is choked and it becomes fruitless. Doesn't go anywhere. Doesn't produce anything. The fourth type of soil, however, is good soil, and it's in a good condition to receive the seed. And the only seeds that were successful in this story are the ones that were planted in the good soil. None of the others flourished. These are the people who have a heart, not ears, heart that hears. The word goes into their system, takes a hold and causes faith to lead you into action, being fruitful. It's the listeners and the doers. Your faith has got to lead into action. And Jesus' faith led him to die on a cross. That was his action, amongst many others. It also says that that crop is not only a crop, it'll be a huge crop, a beyond your wildest dreams crop. James chapter 1, I know you looked at that a while ago, Anna, and that says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Much of the soil where that seed fell wasn't capable of producing a crop. So the condition of the soil determined the fate of the seed. So the soil represents people's hearts. So what have we seen in this parable here? We've seen unreceptive people, superficial people, preoccupied people. And even those who were receptive had a different level of response to that seed, a different level of effectiveness in their response to that message, to that word. And this could be said, like I said earlier, this is could be said of those people who were listening to him that day. He was sowing that seed, but some of them would walk away completely unchanged. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Well, he liked to use everyday language because, you know, he wasn't making people it difficult for people to get into the kingdom of God. He doesn't make anything impossible. But if he's using all this everyday language, why didn't people understand? And it does say in his explanation there, but I'm going to read Matthew 13 from verses 10 to 17. And it says, "Why do you use parables?" his disciples asked him, "to speak to the people." He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance, more than your wildest dreams crop, of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use parables, for they look and they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. And this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened.'" We've already said that, haven't we? I don't want to hear it. "And their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." That's what this is all about. If we hear that message and we turn to him, we can be forgiven and we can live a life with him. We can't do that with hard hearts. And this doesn't mean, by the way, that those soils, those particular levels of heart, doesn't mean that people can't change and become receptive to the word of God. And there's more in this passage. "But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." Anything is possible with God. The hardest of people, the richest of people. When I was called, I'm not particularly clever, I'm not rich. You know, I don't have all these things. And I thank God for that, because I didn't have much to give up, because I could see that he was a lot more than what I already had. He is my treasured possession. The other thing is, the mysteries of the kingdom will be revealed to those on the inside. So his disciples and some others were interested in what he had to say. If you're interested in something, you tend to ask questions, don't you? So they came to him and said, "What does it mean? You know, what can we do? You know, you can see them, can't you? What do we do? What does it mean?" And that's why they got the answer, because they asked, they sought. And Jesus says, doesn't he, "Seek and you will find." It's not difficult. Now in verse 3, Jesus says, "Listen." I'm sure he didn't say it like that, but you know. Jesus doesn't use words for nothing. If he says, "Listen," he means, he says, "Give your attention to this. I'm speaking, give your attention." In verse 9, he says, "Let those with ears use them and listen." He might as well be saying, "Are you listening to this? Are you really, really listening?" We all have a habit, don't we? I could have an Olympic medal in not listening but looking like I am. No, honestly. Some of us, especially me, are really, really good at pretending to listen. And we're like, nodding in the right places. And then you get stumped, don't you, because somebody asks you a question. And you go, yes, And you just carry on doing that. Verse 13, Jesus says, if you can't understand this parable, how will you understand the others? So what he's saying is this parable is the key to all the others. As I said before, some of these there that day, they just heard a story, didn't they? They didn't turn to Jesus. They didn't turn to God that day and be forgiven. Jesus explains the parable to them. This is a divine revelation, as I've said, from him. But he's also warning that belonging to the kingdom is not automatic. You know that you have the teachers of religious law, the Pharisees, and all they said is, we're descendants of Abraham. We've got it. We've got it sorted. We don't need to do anything. Well, that's actually not true. Most of that seed went to waste that day because the soil was not fit to accept it. It can't sustain it. Some of those there were enlightened, and yet some were none the wiser. So there's a lot there, isn't there? But at the end of it, it's a positive outcome because there will be fruitfulness. Some people will go forward. God's word will not come back to him empty. He doesn't say things and not fulfill them and expect a return. There will be a harvest. Some people will receive the gospel and produce fruit beyond their wildest dreams. Kurt said before about, you know, the people of the day were expecting a renewal, weren't they? A revival. This is how it's going to be. He's going to save us from the Romans. And here, Jesus is saying, now, the kingdom of God is going to be like the scattering of seed. And they must all have been sitting there going, right, okay, I'm sure. Yes, the kingdom's coming, but not in the way that they expected. Jesus was inaugurating God's kingdom and he was introducing them to a new way of thinking about the kingdom. And those who were interested came to him and asked him for more. And we, these days, are the sowers of the word, just like Jesus was that day. It's not up to us, though, what type of soil we're scattering the seed on. We've got nothing to do with that. But we can pray for those people. And as I was reading this parable, I thought, should we really talk in parables to each other? Well, I love an example. I do. I do like an example. And I'm forever standing up here, aren't I, going, well, what happened to me was, and you remember the story of the Facebook scam, and I sort of think of that as a bit of a parable. You know, it's something that's happened. It's something every day now, isn't it? It's a little bit of a story, a little bit of an illustrating story. I'm not sure that my Facebook scam story has the same amount of impact as Jesus did in his day, but it's still an everyday example. Jesus was giving these messages to his disciples so that they could make disciples of others. And that's what we're supposed to do. Just to finish on this note, I keep saying, listen and do, hear and put into action. I read something recently which really, really struck me, and it was talking about, I can stand up here and say a lot of words. Sometimes you'll remember some of them, sometimes you won't. But what you will remember is the way that I live my life outside of here. If I am a hearer of the word and a doer of the word, and other people see that, I think they'll remember that more than what I stand up here and say. And that's exactly what this is, faith into action, being successful. Jesus has sown that seed in your heart. Now it's up to you to listen, grow your faith, put that into action. Thank you very much. That was short and sweet, wasn't it? There we go. Thank you.